Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, periodically on the program, I get to talk a little bit about the text that we're going through, the series that we're on, looking at the book of Jonah, currently at the church that I pastor, the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, at 940 Mush Creek Road in Traveler's Rest. If you're interested in stopping by and joining us for worship and fellowship, you're certainly welcome to do that. You can do that by simply, you can shoot me an email if you want more directions or better directions to the church, but it's relatively easy to get to the church. You go out Highway 25, which goes right past Furman University and then splits off to go through Traveler's Rest, either on 276 to the left or on Highway 25 to the right. Both of them are taking you out towards the mountains there between North and South Carolina. But as you go out Highway 25 through that portion of Traveler's Rest, you'll come to 290. And on 290, if you make a right and go down just about a mile or so, Mush Creek comes in on the left-hand side. So if you just go Highway 25 to 290, make a right on 290 and then make a left on Mush Creek, take that down maybe about 4 miles from that point there, and the church at 940 Mush Creek Road will be right there on the left-hand side of the road. You can't miss it as you're driving down the road there. But if you want any more mile markers than that and got some questions or whatever, the time of our worship service is at 11 o'clock a.m. Our Sunday school is at 10 o'clock a.m., and so you're certainly welcome to come out and join us. You can shoot me an email at kttradio@gmail.com. That's kttradio@gmail.com. That KTT stands for Knowing the Truth, kttradio@gmail.com. We've been studying the book of Jonah. We've now passed into the second chapter. We've been on the first chapter doing an expository study through the book of Jonah, and now we're in the second chapter. And I was looking most recently at the opening four verses of Jonah. The first verse says this: "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he cried, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple." Well, that was the text that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks in Jonah chapter 2. And I was making a couple of comments about that text. In our study the previous week, we had looked at the opening couple of verses there in Jonah chapter 2, and we were giving special attention to the contrast between Jonah considering his situation with the eyes of the flesh and considering his situation with the eyes of faith. And verse 4 in that text really succinctly epitomizes both of those views. Then said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And so here was Jonah making this statement here. When I say the eyes of flesh, I don't mean in a bad sense, the, you know, a sinful sense, in the way of looking at with the eyes of the flesh, but I mean just his physical sight resulted in one way of seeing the situation, and his sight, you know, his spiritual sight resulted in a different way of seeing the situation. His situation viewed merely with the physical sight resulted in a sense of overwhelming despair. A focus on just the mere facts of his case led to this conclusion that Jonah had desired to depart from the presence of the Lord. The Lord had chased him and chastised him for his disobedience. Therefore, Jonah knew that what was happening to him was happening deservedly so. He deserved what was taking place, and that it was the Lord who was disciplining him in this situation. His situation viewed with spiritual sight resulted in a sense of utter deliverance. So not with overwhelming despair like with just physical eyes, but a sense of ultimate deliverance when his spiritual sight was put into operation. There was more than just the physical facts to consider. There was a host of spiritual information to consider as well, primarily the promises of God. And so we learned from that study the key then to having a sense of ultimate deliverance during these types of disciplinary situations is to look by faith to the temple of God. Now, last week I briefly mentioned what that entailed, the temple being a place of reconciliation between God and man, and Christ being the central figure, the central message in the services and sacrifices of the temple. As I thought about that point the previous week, I felt that that thought deserved to be further developed in order to better understand the full impact of Jonah's statement here, where he says that that he looked again to the temple, that he drew hope, he drew with his spiritual sight a sense of ultimate deliverance from God by looking to that temple. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. So I want to look at, what more closely the subject about the temple as a type of Christ. And I think that, we can do this by just, more of a rolling commentary about how Christ is pictured in the temple. Now, first of all, when we look at this verse, I think we should understand that temple here means the palace or the dwelling place of God. And I think it's important for us to note that when we're talking about the temple, that we get most of our information about the temple from its predecessor, the tabernacle. The word here that's used in for temple in Jonah chapter 2:4 is used of both the temple and the tabernacle in the scriptures. And one the essential elements of both of these two structures is what's in view. One, the tabernacle, was a temporary structure that could be moved from various locations. And the other, the temple, was a stationary structure, more permanent structure that was located at Jerusalem. And both, and this is in keeping with our theme of the book of Jonah, the temple revealed and the tabernacle reveal two things. It reveals something to us about the holy God of heaven, and it reveals something to us about the salvation that he has provided. And that's in keeping with the theme that we have in the book of Jonah, because the theme of the book of Jonah that we've established from our study of the book is sinners in the hands of a sovereign God. And the key book, or the key verse in the book, I should say, is found in chapter 2 and verse 10, that salvation is of the Lord. So here we have, in looking to the temple, when Jonah says he looks to the temple, we have how this sovereign God, who is this holy God, who we are unable to approach in and of ourselves in our natural condition, how he has designed and made a way of salvation. It's revealed to us a way of approaching him and finding access with him, a way to have a right relationship with the holy God of heaven. The tabernacle taught that sin had separated us from God and that there was only one way for sinners to approach and find acceptance with God. It's interesting when you look at the tabernacle, we see that there is a progression taught in the tabernacle. The outer court being open, to the elements was illuminated by natural light, but the inner court was lit by the light of the golden candlestick, which was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, the oil in that candlestick, and the illumination that came from that candlestick spoke about the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God that was given to those who were brought to see their own natural condition and the hopelessness of their state, and were brought to see salvation in Christ as He is the one who has been provided for their salvation. The third part of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, it didn't have any of this natural light. It didn't have any of this light from the golden candlestick. Rather, there, the Holy of Holies radiated with the Shekinah glory of God. And so we see that this progression that is spoken about here, it goes from the general revelation that is given to us, or natural revelation that is revealed to all mankind. We learn in Romans chapter 1 that man knows instinctively that the Creator exists because the natural or general revelation reveals it to him. So it's not a fact of that man doesn't know that there is a God. All mankind upon the face of the earth, that's why it's called a general revelation, there is general information about God revealed to everyone, to every human being upon the face of the earth. The elements declare unto them that God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so the firmament speaks of His handiwork. And so here we see it's noisy out there in the general revelation. It is constantly speaking to natural man about Almighty God. Now, it's speaking to him about God's power. It's speaking to him about God's wisdom, right, and the natural elements and so forth. But that revelation that is given to us does not provide any redemptive revelation. We need to progress further from the natural light or the general revelation to special revelation. And this is what is pictured to us in the golden candlestick that was in the inner court, you know, the next stage where they went from the outer court to the inner court and then to the Holy of Holies. And so at that place, we find the golden candlestick, which is filled with the oil representing the Holy Spirit of God. We find there that light or illumination, spiritual illumination, is given to those that are called by God to be able to progress to that next stage. Not just the general revelation given to them, but the special revelation of God's Word. The Lord Jesus Christ made a remarkable statement to those that had this light given to them, His followers, His disciples. In Mark chapter 4, He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without are all these things spoken of in parables, that seeing they may see but not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand." You see, the people of God have been given this tremendous ability, this illumination of the Spirit of the living God is given to us so that we can understand two very important concepts. We can understand who we are before God and our natural condition and our inability to find access and acceptance with Him in our own natural condition, and then who Christ is, and how He has been provided by God in order to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, i.e., that He can give us a perfect righteousness, that He has earned that for us, and that can be imputed to us by faith, and also He has paid the price for our sins upon Calvary's cross, so that in both precept and penalty, Christ has met every single aspect of the law of God on our behalf. We see then the final progression is that in the Holy of Holies, radiated with the Shekinah glory of God. This is the glory of heaven itself. When we not only here experience the special revelation of God, but when we leave here and we enter into the very presence of God itself, there's no sun that is needed there. Here we see darkly as through a glass, but there we shall know fully. There the Shekinah glory of God replaces the sun, and that glory illuminates heaven itself and paradise as we're before the very throne of our awesome God for all of eternity. So this prescribed path of the tabernacle is given to us from the outer court all the way to the Holy of Holies is one that goes from sin to purification, one that goes from grace to glory. There's an interesting verse that seems to allude to this in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says this. It says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." You know, it just seems to be a verse that is alluding to this progression of light and illumination that is spoken about in the tabernacle. Now, most of the information that we get about the tabernacle is given to us in great detail in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 25 all the way through to chapter 31, instructions are given to us, or given to Moses, concerning the tabernacle. In chapters 34 through 40, then, the actual construction of the tabernacle then takes place. Now, I think that this is interesting because most often we tend to focus in Exodus upon the leaving of Egypt, but actually most of the book is speaking about entering into the presence of God and worshiping God acceptably through the instructions that are given to us in the tabernacle. Extremely detailed instructions are given for this purpose. And those instructions point us to and prefigure the person and the work of Christ. Christ is the key to our approach and acceptance with God. Now, remember this in the book of Exodus when Moses went before Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." It was always added after that. It said, "Let my people go that they may go and worship me," or "that they may go and serve me." This was the entire idea, that the people of God would be let go from Egypt. So they were separated from something, that is Egypt, a picture of sin and self and slavery to those things. And then they were to be liberated from something unto something. They were liberated in order to serve God and to worship God. Most of the book of Exodus actually deals with that second part. More of the chapters are dedicated to the details of that second half that are given about the first half. Now, the first half is important. There's no doubt about that. You know, the idea of deliverance from Egypt, deliverance from the world, the flesh and the devil. There's no doubt about it, that sense that is given to us there is extremely important. But the second sense is also very important, about worshiping and serving God acceptably. It's not just willy-nilly, not just open to any way to come into a relationship with God. No, the picture is one. God was shut in the middle of this, in the instructions there. And there was a particular path that needed to be taken in order to have access with him. This is what Jonah was looking to, right? This is what Jonah was enabled by the Spirit of God to see with the eyes of faith. This is what saved Jonah. This is what sustained Jonah, even during the deepest and darkest circumstances of his life. Notice he says here, I will look again unto thy temple, right? This is what it means to preach the gospel to yourself. Jonah had been saved through this type of a look unto the temple, unto Christ as he is pictured in the temple. And Jonah was now going to be sustained by looking again here as well. And so the order of the items in the tabernacle are described in Exodus 25 through chapter 27. And it's significant that it begins with the Ark of the Covenant and it ends with the tapestry in the outer court. In other words, it goes from the inside to the outside, from the interior to the exterior. Now, what is this revealing to us? It is showing that God is a sovereign God and that His sovereign grace is seen in the initiating of salvation and bringing it to the sinner who is standing at the outer door. It's not the sinner who finds God and initiates a relationship with Him. Remember the old bumper sticker in the 80s, I think it was, said, "I found it." No, that's not true. God found me. You know, the Spirit of the living God found me in my sin and called me unto Himself. That's the picture here. This is the sovereign grace of God being bestowed upon man, initiating salvation. Even more specifically, it showed how Christ in the incarnation came from God. He came from heaven to earth in order to reconcile men to God. That's the direction in which salvation comes, from God to us, from heaven to earth. It's not us going from earth to God. We should also note that Moses not only received detailed instructions about what materials to use in the construction of the tabernacle, as those details, instructions include the dimensions and the furnishings and so forth, but also he was shown a pattern of which the construction must conform. A heavenly pattern of an earthly tabernacle is mentioned in the scripture 7 times, 4 times in Exodus, also in the book of Numbers, once in the book of Acts, and once in the book of Hebrews. And it teaches us that salvation is according to the eternal purpose and plan of God. This is what He designed. This is the plan from eternity past that He designed in eternity past. He dictates the details of it throughout human history. He directs and oversees the scope and the operation of it across the world and throughout the generation. This is what we see. 7 pieces of furniture were described in Exodus 25 through 27. We just looked at the first piece, the Ark of the Covenant, not even including the mercy seat. That's spoken about secondly. But we looked at the ark itself, and in that ark we saw that the ark was a wooden chest that was overlaid with gold. That wooden chest, the wood spoke of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gold spoke of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And together they formed to speak about the person of Christ. The person of Christ. We talk about the person and the work of Christ. This spoke first and foremost about the person of Christ, His unique person as the theanthropic person of Christ, the God-man. That's the number one thing, the first thing, the preeminent thing that is taught to us in the Scripture. It is His person that gives value to His work. Without the person of Christ, the shedding of His blood would not have the efficacy to be able to forgive our sins, and certainly not the sins of all those who have come to Christ by faith. But His work is in union with His divine and His unique person, His divine and His human person, in order to give His work an infinite value. That's what we see there in this opening item. This is what Jonah was looking to. This is what Jonah was looking at when he focused upon the temple, and we can look there during our deepest and darkest days as well. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, the guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.